You know what the scariest thing is? To not know your place in this world. To not know why you're here. It's just an awful feeling.
A wonderful day in the neighborhood. Welcome to another edition of Career Callings. I'm your host, Robbie Romeiser, and our purpose at Career Callings is to help people avoid the financial and emotional pain of a bad career decision by helping them find, prepare for, and pursue the work God called them to do. You can join us today by phone, text, or email. Phone or text at 864-381-7649. That's 864-381-7649, or by email at robbie@careercallings.net. That's R-O-B-B-I-E at careercallings.net. I have a treat for you on the air today, and that treat is in the form of Kevin Brady. Kevin Brady is an experienced Greenville, South Carolina-based lawyer and a partner with Guest and Brady. Kevin concentrates his practice on helping people with real estate transactions, something near and dear to my heart since I practice real estate in another part of my life. And he helps people out with their residential real estate transactions, commercial real estate transactions, real estate investments, and real estate development contracts. Kevin loves to spend time with his family, loves the outdoors, enjoys traveling, and loves spending time on activities that grow his faith. Kevin Brady, welcome to the Career Callings radio program, sir. How are you today?
Good morning, Robbie. I'm doing fine. I appreciate this opportunity to come on your show and tell a little bit about what we do here at Guest & Brady.
Amen, man. Well, I'm looking forward to our conversation. And just to kind of start out, I just gave a brief introduction of who you are. So take a few moments to tell us a little bit more about Kevin Brady and kind of how you got to this place in your life right now.
Well, I was originally born in Savannah, Georgia, but I grew up and was raised right here in Greenville, South Carolina, graduating from Malden High School back in the early 90s, and went to law school out of state, got married and to my wife, Angela, who we've been married now going on 21 years, and we got two children, a 16-year-old boy and 13-year-old daughter who keep us busy. Like I said, we enjoy spending time outside, and I started my law practice here in 2000, did general litigation with a solo practitioner here in the upstate for 5 years before I met my partner, Russell Guest, and we started Guest & Brady in January 2005. At that time, I dedicated my practice to doing nothing but real estate transactions, and the Lord's blessed us, and we continue to do that today.
I hear you, man. Well, we're definitely going to dive a lot more into work-related questions, but I do want to ask you, what kind of stuff do you like to do outdoors?
Oh, I enjoy hunting, and I've got some land down in the lower part of Greenville County, and we spend a lot of time managing fields, dove fields, and riding recreational vehicles out there with the family and just enjoy being outside, bonfires and cookouts and just anything that gets us together and brings us outside.
You sound like a regular rabble rouser, my friend. I might have to come join you for one of your parties. You're out there doing bonfires and cooking s'mores and all that good stuff.
That's right. There's no better time.
I hear you. Well, that's good that you're able to enjoy all that with your family and enjoy it while you can, and your kids are getting close to those college years, aren't they, pal?
They are. It's something I'm dreading, quite honestly.
I hear you, man. I just sent my oldest off to college this year, and know exactly what you're doing. We're happy for and proud for her, but we do miss her certainly at the house. So, how are you currently using your career at Guest & Brady to impact others for Christ?
Well, that's a good question. That's something that we haven't always done here. When me and Russell first started this business back in 2005. We were simply trying to make sure we could pay the light bill at the end of the month and pay our employees and pay ourselves. And it was, quite honestly, it was all focused on how do we continue to make revenue. And that continued for probably 4 to 5 years. And one day we had both gotten stronger walking in our faith, and a postcard came across Russell's desk, and it started talking about, it was a Christian business owners group, and we talked about how do you carry your Sunday into the rest of your week and carry your faith out through your business. And we looked into that, joined that group, and we've been in that group for going on about 7 years now. And the things that we've learned has just dramatically impacted our business. It's changed our culture here. You know, when you realize that running your business really is not about making revenue, but instead it's about glorifying God and doing God's work and being a Christian first and foremost. When you make your business part of your ministry instead of your ministry part of your business, God blesses that, and He's truly done amazing things here. We just needed the tools and understanding of how to do that, and through this organization, we've gotten some of those tools, and it's led us to understand and start working and creating some of those things ourselves. We do things that, quite honestly, we didn't think we could do when we initially started this business. It's, I guess, one of the main objectives is understanding that there's nothing wrong with being a Christian at work, and that you can live out your faith through your business as a business owner.
What specific things have you changed in your business since joining that group? And is that group C12 by any chance?
It is. We're members of C12.
Yeah, great, great organization. So what have you changed since joining that group in the business to make it more of a workplace for Christ?
Well, one of the first things we did was we hired a company chaplain. And that chaplain comes in and he leads our devotion, our staff meetings every week. We start with the devotion and prayer time, and then we get into the business of running the business. The chaplain goes around. He's available for individuals. They're not required. Nobody's required to participate in any of this stuff, but many of them, if not all of them, do. He allows us to serve our clients. My partner practices in personal injury work, and when we have clients that are suffering, that are in the hospital or have deaths in the family, or just God calls us to send that company chaplain to see them, we send them, and they go, and these are people that may have never been in a church, and it's an opportunity at a time in their life when they, you know, God's looking to reach them, and it's one resource and tool He uses through us to get to those people. And it's been a blessing, and has helped us, helps our employees, and helps our clients. Another thing that we've done is we have the book, The Story, that we put out in our lobby, and we have probably 7 or 8 copies of that sitting out there with just a placard that tells people, you know, we're happy you're here, and we would love for you to take one of these books if you so choose. And it's just the Bible written in narrative form. It's a little easier to read for somebody who wouldn't otherwise maybe sit down and read the Bible. We don't hand them out to them. We don't sit them in front of them at the closing table, but they're there in the lobby and they're available. And in the past 2 years, we've probably given out close to 300 of those. People have walked out with those. And, you know, we get stories coming back to us of people that are sitting down reading those stories with their children at night, and those books getting used. And, you know, a lot of times just the things that we do, we don't necessarily get to hear about on this side of heaven. And but one day we'll understand the impacts that those books may have had out there. And that's just a small way how you can be missionaries in your workplace.
Absolutely. And any of us can have some sort of material, whether written by us or written by someone else, and just offer it to people. Whether or not they take us up on that offer is up to them. But living out your faith in the workplace doesn't require you to be pushy or ram anything down anybody's throat. Just be available with literature. Or I love the corporate chaplain idea. A lot of people, and just to be clear, hiring a corporate chaplain doesn't necessarily mean you hire them as an employee. There are folks out there that do that on a contract basis, and the cost of that is very, very reasonable for those companies who want to look into that. So fantastic ideas, and glad to hear how the Lord is using you and your workplace, and hopefully that will inspire others to use their workplaces, their ministry. And we'll come back and talk more with Kevin Brady after the break. Come on back for more Career Callings. I opened the digital doors of careercallings.net in 2014. I did the same with my daily devotional site, todaysquotefromgod.com, in 2012. Since day one, I've hosted both of my websites with award-winning HostGator. HostGator raises the bar for speed, reliability, support, and value. If you need a place to host your new or existing website, go to careercallings.net/resources to get 20% off new web hosting plans as a Career Callings listener. That's careercallings.net/resources. Discipline, mental toughness, physical conditioning, personal responsibility, work ethic, and a great way to pay for college. What am I talking about? The Olympic sport of fencing. Fencing builds all these character traits, and the Knights of Siena coaches who train tomorrow's champions today can help your child or grandchild develop these traits. To learn more, go to knightsofsiena.com. That's Knights of Siena, KnightsofSiena.com. And mention Career Callings to get your first month free.
Westgate Christian School is known for offering an excellent and affordable Christ-centered education. From K-3 through 12th grade, we engage our students in the classroom and we challenge them on the playing field with competitive sports like soccer, volleyball, basketball, and golf. At Westgate Christian, we know there's a time to learn and a time to play. Call 576-4953 and come take a tour. Meet our staff online at wbcs.org. Call 576-4953 today for more information.
Let me tell you about something my family did several years ago. We dropped our health coverage and joined Samaritan Ministries, a Christian medical needs sharing ministry that's been around since 1994. Joining Samaritan Ministries not only saved my family hundreds of dollars per month, it also helped us stop paying insurance premiums that were funding all kinds of unbiblical practices that we don't support. Every month, more than 49,000 households of Samaritan Ministries share more than $14 million in medical needs under a program that satisfies the Affordable Care Act's requirement that you have insurance or pay a penalty tax. The program also gives you total control over which doctors you see. The Romeiser family has found a health care home at Samaritan Ministries, and we'd like to invite you to join us. To learn more about Samaritan Ministries and if it's right for you, go to SamaritanMinistries.org. That's SamaritanMinistries.org. And if you choose to apply, be sure to support Career Callings by letting them know that Robbie Romeiser referred you. The Romeiser family became Amazon Prime members years ago. With fast free shipping, exclusive access to movies and TV shows, ad-free music, unlimited photo storage, and free Kindle books, it was a no-brainer. To give Amazon Prime a free test drive for your family, go to careercallings.net/resources. That's careercallings.net/resources.
But our lives aren't just measured in years. They're measured in the lives of people we touch around us.
This feels like my calling and my purpose in life. There's something different about this journey that's more heart connected.
Purpose is more than just your core of your own self. It's beyond your own identity. Everybody ultimately wants to serve other people.
You can have everything in life you want. You'll just help enough other people get what they want.
And that little bit of sadness in the mornings you spoke of. Perhaps you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing.
Looking for a reason, roaming through the night to find my place in this world. My place in this world.
Welcome back for segment number 2 of today's Career Callings broadcast. I'm your host, Robbie Romeiser. And at Career Callings, our purpose is to help people avoid the financial and emotional pain of a bad career decision by helping them find, prepare for, and pursue the work God has called them to do. You can join us today by phone, text, or email, phone or text at 864-381-7649. That's 864-381-7649. Or by email at robbie@careercallings.net. That's R-O-B-B-I-E at careercallings.net. Having a blast talking with Kevin Brady of Guest & Brady from Greenville, South Carolina. And Kevin is a real estate attorney who's using his business as his ministry. So Kevin, let me go on to the next question here. What would you say has been your biggest career success to date?
Well, I think just that understanding and that I wasn't called to the pulpit as a preacher, that my mission field is right here in front of me, and that I am where God placed me, and the gift that God gave me was to be a business owner. And what am I to do with that? And that is to glorify His kingdom and go out and spread His word. And when people walk through our doors, that is my mission field. And when that light clicked on and I understood that and we started moving forward, that has to be the greatest business success that I've had. And just understanding that this is His business. This isn't my business. I just get to work in it.
And I'm glad you said that, because, I remember growing up in church. I think that's a very, very, very common misconception. I'm not sure why it has become the way it has become, where people come out of the church or come out of their youth in the church thinking that the only two ways they can serve Christ full time is to either be a full time pastor or a full time missionary in some foreign field. Well, we're all missionaries wherever we are, at any place in life, at any point in time. We're all missionaries, and everyone around us is a potential mission field person who we can share the gospel with. So you're right, man. I mean, you're going to reach people. You have reached people that no pastor will ever reach through your business. And so thank you for sharing that as your biggest career success. Was there a time in your life when you were confused about which career path God would have you follow? And if so, how did He clear the smoke for you?
I think there certainly was. When me and Russell started down this path, when he went into started C-12, and he started bringing back these ideas of living out your faith at work, that was something that, quite honestly, at that point in time, I was walking in my faith, but I was not probably as far along as Russell was at that time. And so when he started talking about look at these things these other businesses around are doing, and start bringing through these concepts, that was something I quite frankly wasn't very comfortable with. But the Lord opened my heart and I listened, and we started down that path. And just the things that happened, and every step of the way, it just felt more and more right. The Holy Spirit was definitely moving through here, and it was at that, and it just continues. And you see the blessings that flow from that with other people, and there's just no denying the Lord's presence, and this is what we're supposed to be doing.
You know, our natural tendency is to detest change. And on top of that, when the change you're facing is to do something for the Lord, you got that extra resistance from the devil and his minions. So I hear you. And I'm glad that you guys actually, overcame that and obeyed the Lord and did what you did. Well, a lot of our listeners are business owners, or they want to be. So take a few moments to tell me what three things you would tell a new startup business owner to do in order to be successful in their business.
All right. Well, for somebody just starting out, I think the number one lesson that we've learned here is that you have to pray every day about everything and let God lead your business. You can't do it without Him. So prayer is essential, and number one. Number two we all have weaknesses and strengths. God's given us those gifts. We have to understand what our gifts are. You have to, as a business owner, entrepreneur, understand what your gift is. And then I would say that you have to hire to your weakness. So if your weakness is management, hire the people that are self-starters and capable of managing themselves. They have those strengths. But all of us are gifted in certain areas and we lack skills in other areas. So hiring to your weakness is, I think, essential. And the third thing that we do here, and we live and die by, are key performance indicators. You have to understand what numbers run your business. You have to pay attention to your numbers. You have to find out, you have to dig into the data of your business, understand which numbers create and push whatever it is you're doing down the road. And you have to stay focused on those. We look at those numbers as a staff once a week. We have them on a board, big board in the back of our office, and we keep up with those numbers. And my side of the business has about 5 key performance indicators that tell us the health of our business. We can see weeks down the road where our revenues are going to be. We can forecast. It helps us to forecast. It helps us to know when we're doing well, and it helps us to know when we're in trouble. And if you're not doing that as a business, then you're flying by the seat of your pants, and you will struggle. That has been something that, as attorneys, we don't typically have a lot of business experience coming out of law school. We go through college, get our law degree, open a law practice, and very rarely do we have much time out there in the workforce as business employees, much less owners. And so in that realm, my partner Russell is a little bit older than me, and he was in a situation where his father owned a textile mill in the southern part of the state. And when he got out of law school, his father got ill, and he ended up running the textile business for several years. And he learned the importance of those numbers. And when he started here, we started with numbers and understanding the data. And that is one thing that he drug me kicking and screaming, because I didn't understand the importance of those numbers, and I didn't really like them. Because the one thing that they will do is they'll hold you accountable. And nobody likes to be held accountable.
That's true.
But at the end of the day, it's the best thing that we do here from an operation standpoint.
If it's not problematic for you to share those 5 KPIs that you just mentioned, just kind of bullet list, if you can, because I think if people could hear what you guys do for your business, it might give them some thoughts on what they ought to be tracking for their own, even though it may not be a law firm.
Sure. Well, we keep weekly numbers on how many new, from a real estate perspective, we know how many new orders, title orders come in, how many new contracts come in the door every week. We understand whether those are investments or people purchasing their primary homes. We know the number of those that we close per week, and separate it out by investor or by residential primary homes. We know what our average revenue per week off of those are. And we have title search turnaround times that we keep track of. We keep up with recording times. Those are the primary ones. The first 4 are probably what we focus on the most. We know we have a understanding of who our referral sources are. Where's our business coming from? Are they new sources? Or are they old sources? What those people look like. So just understanding all of that helps us to see where we're at, where we're headed, and what we need to do on a daily basis.
That's good. That's good. I appreciate you sharing those. If you could recommend just one book other than the Bible for our listeners, we know the Bible at our show is the number one book everybody ought to consume. But other than the Bible, what would be the number one book you would recommend that our listeners, and why?
Well, I read a lot of stuff on a daily basis, and I don't do a whole lot of reading books, just to be quite honest. But one that had probably the most impact on me was I was given at a FCA event, and it's called Lead for God's Sake by Todd Gongwer, G-O-N-G-W-E-R, Lead for God's Sake. And it's just, it's a book about a basketball coach and how when he started understanding the value of loving people and ministering where God placed him, what can happen. And it's based on a true story, and that book probably impacted me more than anything, understanding that you minister to people from right where God placed you. And just understanding that you can do that from any position, from the CEO of a Fortune 500 company to the janitor that's cleaning the grounds. It doesn't matter.
That is so true. That is so true. Now, if you were sitting in a room of high school seniors, what would be the best piece of career advice you could give them as they prepare to go out into the real world?
I think first and foremost, you just have to understand where your gifts are. Find out what God has gifted you with, and then find a career that allows you to utilize those gifts in the best way possible. It's probably something that I didn't understand coming through school, coming through college especially. It takes a long time to kind of find your way in life and your career path, but understanding what your gift is, and because typically if you're gifted in that area, if you get to use that gift, you're going to be excited about your career. And it won't be work. It'll just be fun. So understanding and trying to find out where your gifts lie, it's probably the one piece of advice.
And that, my friend, is good advice. Kevin, I know there's probably going to be some people, that have been blessed by this conversation as I have been, and they may want to reach out to you. So what's the best way people can connect with you?
The easiest way is just to give us a call at the office. Our telephone number here is 864-233-7200. Or they could easily reach out to me on my email. Email is probably the easiest way to reach me, and it's Kevin Brady, K-E-V-I-N-B-R-A-D-Y, at guestbrady.com, and that's G-U-E-S-T-B-R-A-D-Y.com.
Great, great, great. And as always, I will link to that email address on the Career Callings website that goes, the page that goes with today's broadcast. So, Kevin Brady, thanks for being a guest on today's edition of Career Callings.
All right. Thank you, Robbie. It's been my pleasure.
And that's a wrap on today's edition of Career Callings. As always, we invite you to come to careercallings.net/radio. to get your free copy of today's broadcast, and we will also have special bonus material, things that Kevin and I talked about that we could not put into our on-air 30-minute broadcast. All the extra stuff, though, is available on the podcast version of today's program. So shoot over to careercallings.net/radio for all of that material. Remember, seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. God bless.
To learn how to pursue God's calling, and that learning requires tons and tons of reading. But if you're like me, life is so busy that it's hard to find time to read. That's why I'm so excited to tell you about Audible. Audible has over 180,000 audiobooks to help you listen and learn on the go. Audible has made me so much more productive, enabling me to learn while I drive, exercise, or work around the house. I know Audible can do the same for you, and that's why I've teamed up with Audible to give my listeners a free audiobook to see if audiobook learning is right for you. Go to audibletrial.com/careercallings and claim your free audiobook today. That's audibletrial.com/careercallings, audibletrial.com/careercallings.
let me kind of start out with this kind of line of questioning. When we talk about people trying to help them figure out what kind of career God has called them to, one of the things we analyze is their strengths and weaknesses, because a person's strengths and their weaknesses kind of give us clues into what type of direction someone ought to consider going as a calling career-wise, and also some clues into what kind of work someone ought not go to. So tell us a little bit real quickly about your biggest weakness in the workplace.
My biggest weakness in the workplace is probably my ability to manage. I'm not a micromanager. It's just not part of my makeup, and something I have to work hard at as far as managing people and processes, and it's just not one of my strengths. So it's one of those things that I have to work to do well and spend a lot of extra time on, and it's one of those things I just don't enjoy much, but unfortunately it's part of running a business. So it's getting down into the details of it, and I'm pretty good at macro managing, but micromanaging is just not something I do well. And so when I look to hire people, I look to hire people with the competency that I don't have to micromanage. And sometimes that works out and sometimes it doesn't.
I hear you. Now, I was actually about to ask you, how do you go about shoring up that weakness? But you already answered it. You're trying to find those people who are self-starters and motivated and can do or operate with little oversight, which is smart way to go. How about the other side of that coin? What would you say is your biggest strength in the workplace?
I think my biggest strength in the workplace is my ability to relating to people and finding a commonality with them quickly. It's in my real estate practice, I deal with a vast number of people, probably somewhere in the neighborhood of 600 different families that come through the door a year. And being able to sit down, I only get about an hour with these people, and being able to sit down and start a conversation and have, and quickly developing a rapport with people, finding that commonality that you have with somebody, and making them comfortable and having a comfortable environment quickly. Most people come into an attorney's office, it's not something they do every day, and quite frankly, something they probably don't relish doing. So it's being able to come in and build that rapport quickly, make them feel comfortable, and get on with what we do here, and that's put people in houses and for their homes, their largest investment that they deal with typically.
You know, in our growingly digital society, I think the ability to build rapport and converse with people is a skill that is kind of waning a little bit. So I did have a question for you. What do you happen to have a particular question or series of two or three questions that you use to try to build that rapport and get people talking about themselves?
Well, I this is something that I wasn't naturally good at to start with, and it took me some time. I was relatively shy as a child growing up, and so I had to work on that myself. So I came in and just work on asking questions relative that people like to talk about themselves. So asking them, number one, if you find out about where they grew up. A lot of people, especially if they grew up here, like to tell you about that, and I can immediately connect with somebody that has grown up here. Once you pass that, it's kind of the next question, what about their family, and moving on to what do they do for a living, what do they like to do in their spare time. And out of those questions, there is always typically something that you can relate to people with or about, and just get them talking and asking questions based off their responses. It's not something, again, that necessarily comes naturally, but once you practice it, it just becomes natural for you, and asking those questions that lead to other questions. And before you know it, you've got a long conversation going on that you're learning lots of information about people.
And that's important, you know, because when you're trying to pursue the calling career-wise that God has given you, whether it's to be interviewing for a job, or if you're the person interviewing other people for the job, or if you're trying to build a client base or whatnot, part of the day-to-day grind logistically of taking the steps to pursue God's career calling is to be able to build relationships with people. So much rests upon your ability to network with people and relate to people and build relationships with people. So having some simple questions like what you just said is important to enable people to do that. And I ask a lot of those same questions. Here's the one I like to usually lead off with when I'm meeting someone new. It's simply this: tell me a little bit about yourself, and leave the door wide open for them to tell me anything that comes to their mind. And then I usually will follow up with those same kind of questions after that. Of course, a lot of times people will respond to me, Kevin, they'll say, well, what do you want to know? And I say, well, tell me anything you don't mind telling a perfect stranger. That usually gets a chuckle, and then they just launch into it. So that's good. That's a good strength to have and a good strength to build upon. So, Kevin, what would you say is your number one personal habit that you consistently adhere to that drives your career success?
I think the biggest personal habit that I have is just my quiet time each day with God. It just it sets the tone for my day. It allows me to stay focused and grounded. And without it, if I miss days, I can tell it. I can tell it in the way that I carry myself. I can tell it in the way that I deal with people. Without that, nothing seems to go right. It clearly allows the devil to come into this playground. And it's just something that I have to stay focused on and have that time set aside every morning.
That is so true. I'm with you, pal. I mean, on those days when I'm ornery, nasty, mean, spitting at people, you know, all I have to do is go back and look at the fact that I did not spend the requisite time with the Lord that morning. So I'm totally, totally hearing what you're saying. How about your number one business habit that you consistently adhere to that drives your career success?
I think the number one business habit that I do is I listen to my employees. I walk around probably more than they care for me to, and just sit down in a chair in their office and just listen. Tell me what's going on. Tell me what's happening in your day. Let's just get input from them. And it helps me to really understand what's happening to them, what's happening in the business, so to speak. And I guess that's probably some of my management style, so to speak. That's how I get down into the detail of it. And just if there's an obstacle or something that they're dealing with, let's just deal with it now. Kind of you understand the tone of the business and where it's at, and allows you to stay ahead of it, because if you're doing that on a daily basis, number one, you get to really understand your employees on a personal level, and you can tell they can't hide anything from you when you're doing that, because when you walk in, you can immediately see their tone and what's going on. You would know before they even said a word whether there's a problem or not, whether it's a good day or bad day or a stressful day, and then you can deal with it. So that's probably one of my strongest business habits, is just sitting down and listening to people.
And that's good advice too, because people need to understand that, you know, we're working with people. I mean, we're working with other fellow human beings, and the more you spend time with them and try to tune into them, the more they're going to respond to you in a positive way, especially not only from a work-related space, but also on the spiritual level, should an opportunity arise for you to minister unto them. So great advice. Just out of curiosity, were you as prone to do that before you guys started implementing the lessons of C-12, or has that been more of a thing since you've made this shift in your business?
Honestly, that's probably something I've always done. I've always been a good listener. Something that people have always told me, and something I just like doing. I like listening to people and starting those conversations and hearing what's going on in their world. So not always the one to give the best advice, but I like listening and trying.
I hear you, man. I hear you.